Take your Bible, please, tonight, and go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 27, please. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 27. I've enjoyed this week teaching in the college and being a part of those young people in there. I have to say, they know how to eat donuts. They can eat donuts, I'm telling you. Just put a donut in front of a college student's face, and it's like a vacuum cleaner. You just sucked it up, and it's gone. And they just sucked up those donuts. We had donuts this morning, and I don't know if they're learning anything, but at least we had some donuts. Amen? And but it was a joy and a blessing. I'm probably going to keep my sermon short tonight because Michael Price came up to me before the service, and he said he'd put a love offering in if I preached short tonight. And so all in favor say aye. All opposed? Good. It's going to be a short sermon then. Amen? All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. I want to preach to you tonight on the thought. I won't be long. I want to preach on this thought, the decline of three kings. There's three kings, a grandfather, a father, and a son mentioned in the Bible tonight. And they progress down. And I want you to see what happened in their life to these three kings. 2 Chronicles 27, beginning with verse number 1. Let's read this passage. Jotham was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Now notice this phrase, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. And the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the king of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 5 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Now pick up verse 1 of chapter 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. And they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captive and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you we can be in church tonight. Thank you for your blessings, your power. Thank you for your help tonight. I need your help tonight. And Lord, each person here tonight needs something from God tonight. We don't need to hear from man. We need to hear from you tonight. And so I pray that Holy Spirit, you'd come down and meet with us in a wonderful way and teach us the truth of the passage. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the passage that we just read in chapter 27, we saw a king of Israel. His name was Jotham, and he was pretty much a great king. But his father before him was Uzziah. Uzziah was also a great king. Now, we didn't read it, but chapter 26 tells us about Uzziah and all that he did, and that he was a great man. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 26, talking about Uzziah. It says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So we have here in the passage of Scripture a grandfather here, a king. And you know how it goes in the Bible days. They would pass the crown on to the next oldest son, typically. It would go down to the next oldest son and the next oldest son. And so what we have here tonight is Uzziah, who dies and passes the throne on to Jotham. And then Jotham passes the throne on to his son Ahaz. Now, Uzziah was a very godly man. The Bible teaches he was very godly. God blessed him. He loved the Lord. Now, it talks very similarly in chapter 27 about Jotham. It says he was a great man. He did that which was right in the Lord. What we read, he built much. He accomplished much for the Lord. In verse 6 of chapter 27, it tells us he became mighty and that he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. And what a great king he was. But now, something happened to Ahaz. Something drastically changed when it comes to Ahaz. And when you come to Ahaz, you look and he starts his throne when he's 20 years old. And he didn't do right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. And verse 2 says, he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made molten images for Balaam. And he burnt incense, which we know was prohibited by Moses in law. But notice verse 3, the depths to which Ahaz goes as a king. It says here, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire. Now what could have happened to a guy like this who would purposely burn his own children? Now, I've spanked my kids a few times and they felt like I was burning them. Okay? But this man would literally take his children and make them walk through fires. He would literally burn his children. What kind of a heart is that? What kind of a person could do something like that? It says that, and then it says, he did that after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before children of Israel. His eye was not on God, his eye was on the heathen. He was looking at all the heathen in the world. He wanted to be like them. Something drastically happened here in this succession of kings that made Ahaz. And I got to thinking, what was it? What was it that caused him to do that? You know, children are very impressionable. Have you ever taught something to your child and you wanted a response out of them and they just looked at you? You didn't know if it registered or not. And you probably thought it didn't register. And you looked at him and said, yeah. And then 3 weeks later, down the road, you're driving in the car and they bring up the very thing that you told them. See, what children do is they absorb while they're young. They're absorbing. They're looking. They're seeing. They're watching. But don't be fooled. They are absorbing what they see. They are absorbing things. They're not just looking around. They're trying to figure out what's important in life. They're trying to figure out what way to go and what I should do. And they're just watching. They're just watching. Have you ever seen a child mimic something you do? You ever seen one child do something? If a child's walking down the ground like this, there'll be another child looking at that child. Before long, you know what he's doing? He has no idea why he's doing it. But he's sure having fun doing it, right? You know why? Because he absorbed what that other child was doing, and he's trying to copy him and mimic him. Well, I think there was something like that going on in Ahaz's life. But I want to give you two simple things tonight that Scripture reveals that could possibly have been the problem in Ahaz's life. And I want you to go back, if you would, with me, chapter 26. And I want you to see something here in chapter 16. There's two things. Here's the first one. Notice chapter 26, verse 16. It talks about Uzziah, this great man. He was a godly man. He loved God, but he had a fault. Notice in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Now watch verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And notice, while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up on his forehead, even before the priests in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. See, one day, Uzziah just got lifted up in pride. He was doing good. He was doing great. He was a godly man. He was serving the Lord. He was a faithful man. But one day he just got proud. And some pride can take hold of us in many different forms. Pride isn't just walking around with your nose in the air. There's a lot of different forms that pride can come in. And Uzziah got proud, and he busted into the temple one day, and he said, I'm taking over. I'm going to do my thing in here. And the priest said, no, this isn't the Lord's way. You don't do this. And his pride caused him to go overboard, and his pride caused him to get mad and angry at the priest. His pride got him angry. You know, Brother Hanks, the same thing sometimes happens in our churches today. Sometimes a person is doing well. They're serving God. They're faithful to church. And all of a sudden, something comes in their heart. Just a little bit of pride gets in their heart. And before long, they have a problem with church, and they have a problem with the pastor. It's amazing how it happens. It's amazing. The pastor, he shouldn't have said that. He preached, and man, he shouldn't have said that. He might have said it because it was what you needed. And God's response should be to come to the altar in humility, but not to bolster in pride. That was one thing that Ahaz saw. He saw his grandfather mistreat the house of God and mistreat the preacher. And boy, I'll tell you what happened. He got leprosy. Christian, I want to tell you something. Hear me tonight. Your relationship with the house of God and your relationship with God's man will determine more in the effect of your children than you realize. Little Ahaz is absorbing this. I can see him coming to his grandfather someday and saying, Grandpa, where'd you get that leprosy from? Where'd that leprosy come from? What a lesson. Little Ahaz knew. Can I tell you, I've seen people in my ministry in time to time. They seem to be doing well. They seem to be doing great. And then all of a sudden, it seems like there's just something welling up inside of them. They're not happy. Let me tell you something, what you ought to do when that happens to your heart, and it probably will at some point in your Christian life. You ought to come to the altar and beg God to give you a humble heart again. Because that can affect what your children and your grandchildren see and what they're absorbing into their life. Little Ahaz, he had a good grandfather. He walked in the ways of the Lord. He had a good father. He walked in the ways of the Lord. But one day he got upset. One day he got proud. And one day he thought he could do what he wanted to do. He didn't have to stay humble before a mighty God. And let me tell you something. That mistake cost him the influence of his grandson. And his grandson took it the second mile. You know, I believe there's some truth to that old statement that what we do in moderation, our children do in excess. I think there's some truth to that. And Ahaz, the one thing he had that he looked at was that day when his grandpa got mad and busted in. to the temple and got upset. Oh, dear child of God, don't ever let yourself get there. Don't ever let yourself get there. There have been times when I had to say, Lord, I'm the one that needs you. I'm the one that needs the altar tonight. Help me, Lord. I think it's one thing that can reach into the heart of our children, our relationship with our church and our relationship with our pastor. You ought to give all you can and love your pastor. He loves you. This family loves you. And God called him to step on your toes from time to time. He did. God called him to step on your toes. But if you will stay humble and realize the depths at which he loves you, you can become a stronger and a better Christian. And your grandchildren and your children will see it. Amen. That's the first thing. There's a second thing I think here that the Bible reveals happened to Ahaz. Why he would go to such depths. Notice chapter 27. Here's Jotham. Jotham's 25 years old. And of course, this is Ahaz's father. In verse 2, it says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Now notice the next phrase. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He was a builder. He was a man that the Bible says he walked in God's ways. He was a godly man. He was even honored as a great king of Israel. But one thing the Bible reveals about him is he never went into the house of God. For whatever reason. Maybe because he realized his father Uzziah was expelled from the house of God for his actions. I don't know. But whatever reason, he just decided to neglect the house of God. I'm just not going to be there. I'm just not. It's okay. It's okay if I don't go to the house of God. Oh, really? You know, I grew up in Colorado, and we had this old excuse everybody used to say for not coming to church. And they'd say, well, you know, preacher, I can go up into the mountains and worship God up in the mountains. Can I tell you something? There's something about just being in church, in God's house. There's something to it that's just going to make your life blessed. And Jotham, all he did, the only negative thing the Bible says is he just didn't visit the house of God. He just wasn't there. You say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir tonight. We're here on Wednesday night. We're here when church is open. The church opens, and we're here, preacher, when preacher calls revival meetings. But listen to me. Here's what happens. One day your boss comes up to you at work, and puts his arm on your shoulder, and he says, you know what? You're the best employee I've got. You are the best guy. You work harder. In fact, I have never had an employee like you. In fact, you're such a good employee, I would like to make you a supervisor. I would like to put you over all these. And I'm going to double your salary. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I'm going to double your salary. We'll make it. The only thing is, you just have to miss some Wednesday nights, and you have to miss some Sunday nights at church. You just have to miss a few of those things. Let me tell you something, my friend. You better be careful. You better be careful. Because, by the way, not every promotion is from God. Didn't the devil try to promote Jesus? The devil even came to Jesus and said, hey, if you move these stones, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. He was trying to give Jesus a promotion. He didn't have the power to do that. But can I tell you, it's all about in this world getting you to miss the house of God. And hear me, is Ahaz worth it? Is Ahaz worth it? Oh, listen to me, my friend. There's a lot of things that the devil can use just to get you out of church. I understand somebody's sick. If you're vomiting, I understand. Especially the person in front of you, they understand that you didn't come to church also. Thank God for that. I mean, God understands certain things. But let me tell you something. At some point in your life, the devil's going to try to trick you out of the necessity of being in God's house. KU's playing tonight. They're playing the Sooners. They're probably going to beat them. You know, preacher, they don't play this game very often. And I'm at church all the time. I think I'm just going to stay home tonight. I'm just going to watch this game. But don't tell the preacher where I am. I'm just going to be fine. I'll be okay. Hear me? If you get it started. If you get it started, it's going to be so much easier to just keep that thing going. And the next game that comes up, I've got to watch that one. And before long, you don't even have a sense of importance in God's house built into the depths of your soul.
Amen.
And guess who's watching you? Ahaz is watching you. Ahaz has got his eye on you, and he's absorbing you sitting on the couch during church, watching that game. I'm saying to you tonight, it starts easy, it starts subtle, it starts in little things, in little ways. And, you get to the point where you say, it won't bother me to miss a few services, but the devil's not content with that. He wants to get you there to get you started, not to just get you to there. He's trying to get a pattern built in your life. And all along, there's little eyes that are watching you. Those little eyes have got their eyes on you, and they're saying, what are you going to do? It's church time, Dad. What are you doing? Well, son, it'll be okay tonight. You just go with Mom to church. You hear me tonight. If you get that started, dear friend, it's going to be a problem all your life. Hey, listen, when we go on vacation, we go to church on vacation. I mean, you know how it is. Sometimes you stop and you go to church. It's hard to find a good church sometimes. I mean, we walked into church one time, and it was the only church we could find in Minnesota. And on a Sunday morning, Brother Hanks, and they were serving real wine for communion. Yeah. And it wasn't an independent Baptist church. Thank the Lord. Amen. We tried to find one and couldn't find one. It was a Bible church. It was the best one we could find. But I said, we're going to be there. And they passed the thing by my kids and I could smell it. And I'm looking down there at my kids going, oh, don't touch it. No. 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 And the kids are looking at me like, what's wrong? So they passed it down. I passed them. Listen, I understand that, but may I tell you what? I'm glad they knew they went to church. There are some times it's going to be desperately inconvenient for you to get your suit and your tie on and put your shoes on and come to church. There are some times it's going to be desperately inconvenient. And I understand sometimes the ox falls in the ditch. But listen to me, if that ox is falling all the time, you might as well shoot that dude. Amen? Let him have it. He'll keep falling. I'm just trying to say tonight, child of God, you go to church and sometimes you just get a little dull in spirit. And the devil opens that little door. And you say, you know what? I think it'd be okay. Just remember something. There's a little Ahaz that's watching you. There's some little eyes that are absorbing your life and they're trying to figure out what life's about. They're going to be your pattern. What are you going to do? It's the only thing that's said about Uzziah that was bad. It's the only thing that was said about Jotham and her son turned out to be a devil-worshipping heathen. How sad. And don't get me wrong, sometimes you're godly people, you do your best and you're still faithful and the world gets a hold of your child. I understand that. But don't let it ever be because you felt comfortable and couldn't get up. And that Super Bowl game was on and you just were dying to watch it. Get some grit in your soul and say no.
Amen.
I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be in God's house. If it kills me, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in God's house. And listen to my dear friend. There's someone, little eyes, that'll see it. Some little eyes that'll know you've made the effort to be there. And they're going to think, wow, there must be a real God in this world. There must be, what Dad believes must be true. What Dad says in that church that we go to, he makes it a priority in his life to be there. And he won't even listen to his own excuses. He's going to be there. And may I tell you what, it's one ingredient. One simple ingredient as we're raising kids. If you'll get a hold of, I believe this. If you get anybody in this town, you get them to come faithful every service for 1 year, I believe God will change their life. Anybody. I believe you bring Hillary Clinton to this church for a year, it'll change her. Either that or you all will kill her. One of the two. Amen. Amen. But listen tonight. Simple truth. Don't allow yourself to go to that place where out of convenience or ease or pleasure or it's just too hard tonight to make it, mount up in your soul and remember there's an Ahaz watching you and let God have the victory. Would you do it? Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the simple truth. How simple it is in your word. Dear Lord, I pray tonight for someone who struggles in this area. I pray you'd encourage them. I pray that you'd help them to mount up with strength when they're at their weakest point and be in God's house. Maybe some Christian tonight's a young Christian. They haven't learned this simple principle tonight. I pray you'd help them to put it in their life. I pray you'd help them to make your house a priority. Make being faithful to the house of God, loving the pastor, treating God's house well. I pray you'd help someone tonight to grab the principle and use it in their life. I pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Brother Hanks.